Thank you, Robert. Good job. It has been a long journey for Jesus. From the time that he was born until now has been about 30 some odd years in his lifespan. And he's been preaching and teaching all over the place. But from his early beginnings in a barn to his work as a carpenter in his father's shop to creating his own and then eventually going out and spending time with the poorest of the poor, people who were least deserving in everyone else's eyes, Jesus has really just had a humble life. It's been pretty ordinary for him. Nothing really worth noticing, nothing worth fighting against, just humble. And then, of course, today happens. And Jesus has been out teaching and preaching and healing people. He spent plenty of time in Bethany because he was good friends with Mary and Martha and Lazarus, the guy he brought back from the dead, and he had spent time in that place. And so when he shows up that day, people are used to him. They've seen him. They know what he's about. And even the disciples know what Jesus is about. They've been with him for 3 years now. They've had plenty of time to learn and soak in everything Jesus has to teach them. Except there's one thing that they're really good at forgetting. Jesus has told them all about what happens when he gets to Jerusalem. And he's told them this quite a while on this path, that he will be betrayed and questioned and handed over back and forth to different authorities, and eventually that he would be killed, and then 3 days he'd rise again. But the disciples aren't ready to hear that part. No. They're ready to ignore that bad news and just stick with all the good that they see Jesus doing. And so when he comes into Jerusalem and when he comes into Bethany and he pulls aside this colt that had never been ridden, and people start waving branches and putting their clothes on the floor and shouting, "Hosanna, save us," the disciples are ready for this Savior. All the people are ready for this Savior, for things to finally start working the way that they hope it'll start to work. Jesus has given people every reason to believe that he is going to fix everything. 5,000 people on the side of a mountain got fed. He's there to provide. People who weren't able to walk or see or speak are all of a sudden walking and shouting the praises of God. He's given every reason to think that Jesus is here to fix everything. And our scene from this morning only solidifies those expectations, only makes them that much more stronger, that this is what Jesus is here for. Because as he comes riding in, people know the scene. See, this is how royalty show up. And how they show up tells you what they're there for. So if a king is riding in on a horse, you know that your town is about to go into upheaval. They're still in the middle of the war. The battle is not won. It causes anxiety. But if the king shows up on a donkey, all is well. Peace can reign in the land. And now here's Jesus on a donkey that has never been ridden. And somehow, amid all the waving of palms and throwing of coats, this donkey handles Jesus riding it calmly, peacefully, the peace of Christ filling this unbroken animal riding into Jerusalem. And the people are shouting a word that we don't hear often. It's not in my usual language. They're calling Hosanna. And that's different from Alleluia. Alleluia is a shout of praise, of thanksgiving, of God, you are the greatest. Hosanna is a different cry completely. It means save us. Save us. From all the stuff that's going bad in our lives, save us. From Rome that's got everybody under its thumb, save us. That's pulling taxes out of any possibility of making a way forward in life, save us. Of all the ways that we were supposed to be God's people, save us. Hosanna. This is what the people have been waiting for God to finally come and do something. For God to finally come and fix all the things God promised God would fix. Hosanna, save us. It's about time. And who wouldn't shout about that? I mean, who wouldn't? The rocks of themselves, God's creation itself, heaven and earth and everything around shouting the praise to God who's come to do something. But amid their shouts of praise is a different story. In the middle of all these shouts of praise rides a different story. Because what's waiting Jesus in Jerusalem isn't peace, it's destruction. It's the end. It's a cross. There is one consistent story that's in the Bible. Whether you're reading in Genesis or you're skipping over to one of the prophets or you're reading some of what Jesus tells people, that one consistent story is the God that you want, the God that you think that you want, that you need, it's usually not the God that you get. The God that you want to come and fix everything, to make this relationship work better, to please give me this promotion so that I don't have to worry about making ends meet. God, please, won't you just show me what I'm supposed to do next? The God that we want isn't always the God that we get. Because God has a wider vision than that. God has a wider vision than what happens to you tomorrow. God cares about that, deeply cares about that, and who you are and where you're going in life. But God's picture is bigger. And that picture is what we see in Christ, that God emptied himself completely so that he could walk with us and show us that love that would go to every length to bring us that peace. But not just us, or one people, or one nation, or one place, but the whole entire world, that all may know that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Paul writes that hymn in Philippians chapter 2. Every knee would bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And on this Palm Sunday, the things that we think will bring us peace are sometimes hidden from our eyes too. The things that bring us peace are not when everything is fixed. Not when the cancer goes away, not when that illness is finally gone, not when that job is finally figured out or the house is paid off or the car is paid off or the retirement plan hits a certain dollar amount or when those retirement plans finally come happening. That is not what brings peace. It is knowing God. It is humbling ourselves and acknowledging that it is God who saves us in all things. Instead of getting the God that we want, who fixes everything, we get the God who forgives, the God who makes new, the God who brings peace in the middle of chaos, like the donkey never been ridden, in the middle of waving palms and clothing falling in front of it. The God who brings peace in the midst of chaos. Jesus did not ride that donkey to the palace gates, did not overthrow the Roman government, did not fix everything for all of the people. He did what he did best, to bring that hope and that promise, to bring that life and that peace where only God could bring it. And I trust that you can follow that path this week. As God leads us through Holy Week, on this day of celebration and into the darkness, and the fear and the chaos and the worry, where you can still see that Christ has peace as he gathers with his disciples and gives bread to the one who's about to betray him. As he hangs on the cross and instead of saying, Father, avenge, he says, Father, forgive. To that day of waiting in between, where so much of our lives feel in between something. To next Sunday when that day dawns anew. And God rises with hope. May God guide you in this path this week. As we worship together, as we hear that story, as we sing those songs, as that faith is renewed. And may God bring you peace. Amen.